So today I'd like to introduce Jay Manning. He's with Jay Logistics and Trade. Jay, you are the owner and CEO, correct?
Yes, sir, that is correct.
Perfect. So can you, to get started, can you tell me a little bit about you and your company and how you started?
Yeah, so J Logistics and Trade, we are a e-commerce manufacturing and logistics firm. We work with different type of products and services, whether that goes from shoes, clothes, car parts, electronics, new innovation products. We actually do the whole nine yards in-house and with partners. We ship freight domestically all 48 states. We do work in, closed freight, open freight. You could think of us such as Amazon and NVIDIA in a mixture kind of thing.
Okay, perfect. So tell me a little bit about how you got into it.
So I actually got into it from, I was actually doing a lot of internships and work overseas in China, started learning about wholesale distribution, manufacturing, things like that. Started creating kind of a team all together in the United States and internationally. Started learning about kind of different cultures and endeavors. And just learning from, just my bosses about how to start a business, creating a team, leadership. I started having visionary goals about 3 or 4 years ago and kind of just got to it. I'm a very innovative person, so I like to create and see things.
You mentioned something that is extremely important for business owners. You mentioned visionary goals. I think oftentimes people start the idea with a vision, and then somewhere along the lines, maybe that vision becomes secondary or they quit thinking about it. So tell me a little bit about how your vision has really propelled your growth in this space.
Yes. In terms of my vision, yeah, there definitely been, some ups and downs for sure. I think it's all about passion. Kind of, what gets me up in the morning is to know that I could possibly make something that could change the world. I don't think about just the city of Houston or the state of Texas. I think about, something larger. You'll know if you have it, if you think about it all day, if you're dreaming about it, that's me. Honestly, I'm thinking about new products and growing, the business honestly every hour of the day. And so that, that's what motivates me and, keeps pushing. I never give up.
I think that that's fantastic, and that constant drive to grow is really what helps companies succeed. You have to have that constantly evolving vision, as you said. Sometimes that can be tiring, and you can kind of hit a little bit of a wall. So I think from that perspective, if you had to start from square one again today in your business, what would you do differently? What have you learned that you're like, oh, that was a mistake, but it was a good mistake. I just, I wouldn't do it again.
Right. That's a great question. The first thing I would do, if I were to restart today, the number one thing I would do is write my business plan down on a piece of paper, and then transitioning it. I think one of my mistakes is that I had a lot of good ideas and things I wanted to combine together, but not making the plan and not having some certain resources, it showed me that if you want something to excel, you have to have the right tools. You have to have the right components. That's the only thing that I would say, that I would look back and possibly change if if I were to start over today from square one. Yeah.
And it's funny, I think that that's I hear that so often. I've personally worked in businesses before where sometimes it feels like every job responsibility was written down on a piece of paper and it was thrown up in the air, and then whoever got it when it came back down held it. And I'm like, yeah, that doesn't make, like, they shouldn't be doing that. Somebody else should be. So I think that to your point, that that's exactly it. Having that business plan and really being able to kind of figure out what you're doing, how you're doing it, it gives you that framework to make sure that you're laying everything out correctly. So that absolutely makes sense. As far as pain points go, and we touched on this a little bit, tell me a little bit about time management. Has time management ever been a problem for you? And if so, how have you improved it? Or, some people, it's always a struggle.
Right. In terms of time management, it came to a point to where I realized that who you associate your time with and how you associate your time is so important. It goes by the hours and the intervals. I started dividing my days up into intervals, morning, afternoon and night, and that's dependent upon, the different endeavors that we're building in the business, different meetings and things like that. Just started to realize that how you share your time is going to be dependent upon the progress of not only in business but in life. And when I realized that, it started to open up a lot more doors and some successful levels to flow for not just myself but for the business.
That's something that's really important that I'd love to touch on later. I really like your thought process there, the structure that you put around that. Let's take that a step further and talk about outside of work, part of not getting burnout, part of enjoying life, part of the reason that you started your own company really was to be able to dictate your own time. And so the question then becomes, so how do you handle a balance between work and life and the demands of running a business and the demands of owning a business? What does that look like for you?
That's an awesome question. I think it all ties back into I always lay out my week of what am I going to do for fun. In terms of that, I say it as basketball, a certain hobby, something that you look forward to. I've realized that if you just kind of work, and you don't really have anything else, it can easily burn you out. The mindset truly is honestly all about, and it's just my personal opinion, the chemicals that are being produced in the brain, whether it's going to be good or bad. You really want to have a clear conscience when going for pretty much anything, whether that's going to go for a business pitch or talking to someone just in general. Having a clear conscience is one of the most important things that I've realized. If you don't have that part, it'll be very hard to excel in a lot of things. And when I realized that, it helped me internally, and externally.
Okay, that's great. So if I can, let me dig into that a little bit more. The last conversation or the last topic that we talked about was time management within the business. And then, we talked a little bit about the balance of that outside of the business. You mentioned that you time block essentially your day, your week for work. Do you extend that into your personal time as well? So I'm going to dedicate this to basketball. You mentioned that you really like basketball. You're going to dedicate this to maybe some time with friends outside of the office. You're going to dedicate this with family. Do you do that for your entire calendar or just your work time?
That's a great question. So in terms of my personal, I like to schedule things out if, when it comes to if it's within close proximity, like if I'm doing something within city, I can definitely always kind of rearrange something, especially if the person or something means a lot to me. And then in terms of I guess, separating and combining, yes, the interval part is the most important part. If I have something that I absolutely know for in business that I have to get done or before 2 o'clock on a time interval, saying no is the number one thing that not only did I learn from myself, but from my father. He taught me, saying no and understanding who you're sharing and what you're sharing and how you're sharing is very vital, because if you share your time or do things that you know you're not supposed to be doing before something else, that's honestly what's going to cause a lot of issues or a lot of stress, composition between other people. That's kind of, how it all correlates. And then when you realize that you have the right setting around you, things start to look a lot more better. A lot more better.
I think it's fascinating the number of people that I talk to, both in my business, but just personally with friends, that the amount of stress that they get, not only in business, but from their family and friends of, I need time with you too, I need time with you too. And it's hard to balance those things. And you just kind of you hit on that. And oftentimes that's how you have to figure out the best way to really move forward. And so that's extraordinarily interesting that you hit on that as well. Let's shift gears just a touch and let's talk about finances. We don't need to talk about your finances, just from the perspective of as a new business owner or as a business owner, if you're talking to somebody that's going to start a business, how do you talk to them about financial management? You mentioned that you didn't necessarily have a written business plan, which, a good chunk of business owners go into business without a written business plan. And therefore, sometimes the financial management piece is a little challenging because you don't necessarily know what to expect. But how do you handle financial management of your business, and what does that look like for you?
Financial management for the business. How we go about financials in the business is particularly about, what are we trying to get done and accomplish, whether that's going to be with selling a product or a service, or that's going to be within fundraising. There always needs to be an initial goal and understanding of how much of that needs to be fundraised for that goal. For example, for an R&D for a project, it can cost for a certain variable. If you fundraise below that of the minimum threshold, you will have some major issues, complications in term. It's not because of you might not have a good plan or you don't have the right team. To be honest, if you don't have the financing or the resources that are potentially coming in or things to get people excited, things just don't honestly move along. Channeling, understanding cost, where the costs are coming from, profit and loss, credit usage. I'm actually getting into a lot of business credit usage. Those things are so vital to expand. For business owners that don't understand that, that is honestly why a lot of businesses stop and shut down, is because of the financing or the capital that needs to be fundraised. I would say the number one thing for any entrepreneur, business owner, you have to network, you have to go to events, you have to talk to people. If you don't, there you'll never be able to get the capital fundraised, unless you come from some inheritance, which does happen in companies, pop or expand off of that. But finding the capital and the resource is the first thing in terms of capital management. Once you have that, dividing and having a plan forward is what creates that success.
Absolutely vital. And from your lips to God's ears, let's hope that everybody hears that and agrees with it, because you are 100% correct. I think the number of businesses that we see that say, I need $100,000 to do this project, just pulling a number out of thin air, $100,000 to do it. And I got to $70,000. I'll figure out where that other $30,000 comes from. And you don't, because the project ends up costing more than $100,000 to begin with. And it's always a challenge. So, fantastic key insight. You mentioned team, so let's talk a little bit about team. What qualities do you look for in employees, and how do you foster a positive and productive work environment? I'm assuming, based on your business, that you do a lot of remote work. A lot of your workers or vendors are remote. So, how do you manage through that process?
That is an awesome question. When we look into hiring a candidate, whether it's going to be in sales, app development, engineering, business development, maybe even potential CFO, when we look into those aspects, we've looked at it as someone could have 10 to 12 years experience in something, but if, we always like to see, can they help us solve this problem, or can they help us expand the business in terms of the skills and the assets that they have? if you know, and also if we're bringing someone in as in maybe an intern or for some training, those levels are really dependent upon the passion that they have for that position, their schedule, what is their realistic aspect? Do they feel as though they could really accomplish this goal? Are they willing to put in the effort? When we were first kind of starting, we were recruiting, a lot of people and trying to get the right things going. One of the number one things that we've realized when talking to candidates is always going to be matching up of what they're saying versus of what they, actually can do and what they're doing. That's led us to understand, how can we improve? One of, I know, and I'll be honest, one of our struggles is that we need to do a lot of, I wouldn't say employee training, I would say a lot of team organization and structural planning. And if that person can see that vision, that is the number one reason of why we take someone on. It's never about always just the skill set they can bring. It's about can they match up with J Logistics and Trades Foundation and then help us succeed further. That's the number one thing that we look for.
Very, very nice. I worked for a large global car manufacturer based out of Germany for a number of years. And that was kind of their philosophy with everything. We're hiring a person because they're the right fit for the company. We think they're going to be the right fit for the seat, but we believe that they're the right fit for the company. And if we need to move around a little bit to find the correct seat, we'll do that. But getting the correct person on the bus is much more important than the seat that they're in. So I think that that is vital, and that flexibility with employees is just is key. So I agree and I appreciate that comment. Last question, and I want to ask everybody this. In 5 years from now, where do you see yourself? And any words of advice for other business owners that are looking to get into this, that you would offer them to help grow?
5 years from now, from today, I see our company a domestic and international standpoint. I think that our voice will be, extremely heard once that our technology is developed and is starting to go into market. I definitely have belief that we'll hit our revenue marks and goals that we have projected, excuse me. And I also do believe that we'll be able to motivate and bring people in, not just as employees, but as partners to build them up and expand other small businesses. That's where we see ourselves in 5 years. I think that we'll be able to help a lot of the United States consumers from a corporate level, government level. Those are some things that we're aiming for as well. So we definitely have some very huge plans, and we're really excited for 2024 and 2025 coming in forward.
Great. Your vision sounds fantastic. So I greatly appreciate the time, and we'll stay in touch. Okay.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Travis. Appreciate it.